You are listening to BensTorah.com.
You're going to have Ima Hagaga, you're going to have, we've got the four sons, you have a lot of stuff going on. So we'll start with this. You have, some people ask, and not because it's a question. So we'll start already with this. We're going to say, what's the greatest shkayach? We get to give Hashem to take us out of Mitzrayim. Who put us there in the first place? So this is already a question that, you know, comes out of there like right off the top. But hopefully we'll get to that and see if we can address it, because really what we're going to see, they say the four sons, it says Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad She'eno. Echad is Gematria 13. 13 times 4, like a deck of cards, is 52 Gematria bet. It's all really one son. So the way I thought about it in the past, but now it's a little different to see it now, is sometimes we're in that matzah, we want to shtag, we want to be the chacham, other days we might not be in the greatest flow, other days, so that's just a bit of Pluto. But really, I think when it all comes down together, we really have all different parts of ourselves that might be operating almost simultaneously. That, like, there could be a part of us, it doesn't even have to be different days, it can be different days, it doesn't even have to be. I'm teaching the chukim, the mishpatim, the Torah, teaching everything. So another part of us could be like, do I really need to scrape like the inside of a back of an oven and dig it? Like, you know, like, could comments really get in here? Is this really dirt anyway? It's, you know, like, what? Does God even care? These are real feelings that can be going on by people. It doesn't even make sense, you know, that are going on over there. There's an element of Tam, which Tam tangentially, it seems to be a little bit of different opinions. Who like at the Tam? Some people are big fans of the Tam, like Mamish, Emes, the Kapush of the Yid, like Yaakov, the Ish Tam. Others, not so much. Rashi and the Yishani actually have the Tam as the Tipish. You know, it's like Mamish, like a fool.
Tam backwards is Mace.
Mace, that's the one called, let's go, that's sausage. And we could discuss that one time. We're Muslim for some of those things in the Shpatim, but you know what it is. But over here, but this is, they have him as, you could go either way with him. And the She'eni Yodei Lishol is definitely an element when we get to the Haggadah. Now, it's a part of in the bigger picture that is so beyond even the answers, even for us to begin even to ask or even understand the depth of everything. We'll hopefully try to see an inkling into the addressing of all these four, because all these four are really working together, and it's all really all of us. If we're honest with ourselves, these things can always be there. Thrown into the mix, some of the Vayikra parshas that we see, not so talked about parshas, just, you know, like you talk about that's real, but so are these parshas. The Medrash actually says in these parshas, although these topics might seem, the Medrash Rabbah, you know, might seem a little bit dark to the masses, but to Hashem, it's special. When you're talking about the birth of a child, you're talking about the birth of a child, you should keep Tazria, then she's going to be Tamei for 7 days afterwards, and you're like, the whole time, you know, when you're back, like, you were being like Hashem, it was in creation, three parts in a person, Hashem, the father, the mother, and here, when the woman gives birth, that's what she's going to become, Tamei for 7 days. Not only that, she's going to have to bring a carbon. Why? Because she thought or said or had some feelings like, why did I even do this to begin with? Forget it, I'm going to do this ever again. That means, and if we're putting that into the carbon, we're seeing that's a normal thing to happen. This is like the expected thing to happen. The expected thing to happen is you're going to give birth, which is your taxes, be coming for 7 days, have feelings like, why did I ever do this? I'm never doing this again. You're like, this is all part of the structure of this whole, you know, of the whole situation. It's really, it's really astounding. As we'll see, you know, when the Jews were coming, what's called, interesting Medrash, what's called as well, which is the Medrash talking about, why the Emois gave birth late. You know, why, like, you know, Sarah, 90 years old, all these things. And it seems to be in the Hezra of the Medrash, which is so strange, that the Jews had to come out of Mitzrayim in the year 2448. Like, that was sort of like the set date that they had to come out. We never think of it in these terms. But this is like, we think, no, it, you know, they were here at this time, so, you know, like, so no, they had to be there, like, go out in 2448. had Sarah given birth earlier, she gave birth at 90 years old, had she given birth earlier, Yitzhak would have been born earlier. The 400 years of Yitzhak from when Yitzhak was born would have finished while the Jews were still in the Mitzrayim, which means the Jews would have to be in the Mitzrayim suffering much longer, and that would have been very painful. That could have been a disaster. That could have been, who knows what. We would have hit the 50th level of Torah. We would have been fulfilled, you know. So therefore, by Sarah giving birth late, and everyone giving birth late, so that was a mila. That was a mila for us. You know, there. Now, what is not explained there is why did they have to come out in 2448? What should I just tell you? But here's the interesting thing to note is we know that coming out of Mitzrayim was the birth of the Jewish nation. Now, the Gemara has different days and different counts to what go to how many days is pregnancy, whether it's 271, Gematria Harion, 272. And so according to that opinion, 272 is the days of pregnancy. And we know how many months is pregnancy.
Who says 272?
It's all in the Gemara. Gemara lists 272, 271, 272, and 273. These are all different numbers there. You know, 273 is another whole thing, but that's not today's discussion. Another time, you can connect into Rav Shimshon and the Makkos and all the different counts, you know, of how many letters are there, what's called in there in the Makkos. I just tangent, you see over there how many letters are there in the Makkos. The smallest count is still what's called is 30, what's called 36. And the highest count is 42. We may have discussed it. I'm not sure. I don't know if we ever discussed it. Okay, whatever. We have that too. Over there, either way, I'm pretty certain it would go. We add up all those numbers. We could actually double check that. Let's have you. You want to do the? Let's level check. You want to do the math over here? We have on your thing. So we have, what are the numbers? We got 30. Let's go the different counts. The smallest number of counting the letters of the Makkos is 36.
36, okay.
And then all the options go up till 42. So 36 plus 37 plus 38 plus 38.
37
plus 38.
Plus 38.
Plus 39.
Plus 39.
Plus 40.
Plus 40.
Plus 41.
Wait, you can't do it in your head, buddy.
Okay, go.
Plus 42.
273.
That's what goes. That is what goes. And we are, the thing is, because in Rav Shimshon's letter, which that a whole other discussion now, maybe you've done that as a segula to do it, but you know it says missing what goes 10 from the third. You ever seen this? You ever did what goes in this letter?
Where? Which one? The Rav Shimshon on the Moscow.
So, yes, over there it says missing 10 from the third, 6 from the fourth, 6 from the ninth. Basically, as the smallest count will be 36 letters. That's if you spell Kinem, Arov, and Chayshech without Kinem, without the Yod, Va'arov without the Vav, Chayshech without the Vav. But do you count in the word Makkos as well? You say Makkos Bacharos, because if you count in the, what's called those extra three letters plus the word Makkos, so then you'll get to 42. That's how that's the
that's, right.
Yeah. Whatever. So that's one thing. Now here's another thing. We have another number, which is 272. That's another one of the numbers I was given. Check this one out here.
Okay.
We've got. We're working you hard on the calculator here today.
I'm telling you. It's beyond my pay scale here. How do I clear? One second, I have to figure out how to clear.
This is a special.
Okay, go.
They only have like four functions on this one. Okay, 272.
272.
The day, which is the days given for pregnancy.
Okay.
Times.
Ooh, times. I got to delete that. Okay. Let's try again. 272. Times.
And now what's the number of months? We have this in the end of the Haggadah.
Month of what? The
of pregnancy?
Year? Or nine.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Right.
272 times nine.
Okay.
What do you got?
2448.
Wow.
That's cute. That's like, very cute.
So what we would go heavily, and of course what's called Lemaisa is, and the prelude, so if we, if we take out, we said 9 months of pregnancy, so if we drop the first, what's called, if we don't count the first maka, how many makas are left?
Nine.
And what happens after, what's called, after 9 months?
Right, yep,
a child is born. What's the last maka?
Makas Bacharos.
Makas Bacharos, that's the Bacharos. And where does it start? The process always starts with what? What's called, it starts with the process, or period, and everything else that starts with it. What's the first maka?
Dan.
Dan. It's the blood beforehand and blood afterwards. This is, here goes, A, what go away, and then it's the blood afterwards.
Right.
There, put that up. So is, we're seeing this, there is a birth of the Jewish nation that is happening here. It will go pace of time, and we're seeing, even in birth itself, this is a process that is not simple. We are going to have Vayter in the Haggadah. Rav Elazar and Rav Yeshua are part of the five. What you're starting to see when we see this, this is not like random at all. The Rav Elazar and Rav Yeshua are part of the five discussing the story. So it was an amazing story, 100%. They were up all night, and that's amazing, and there's a lot of lessons to be learned out. But were they all the only people to be able to, I'm sure Rosh Hashanah and his crew must have done that once or twice. I'm sure they were like, I'm sure it's a guy's find a camera. No, they tell you that. You know what I mean? You got it. Like, it's interesting. So let's focus on these two. Rav Elazar and Yeshua. What are they doing here in the Haggadah? They're part of our five. They're discussing. Rav Elazar and Yeshua is famous for the discussion.
Rav Yeshua about Tishrei Neviim.
When the world was created, and when the Gula is going to be here. Many understand this machleges. This is the easiest way to understand this machleges, which is a longer discussion, but it's a one-liner. That Tishrei is when Adam Rishon was created, and the world comes to its tachlis in what's called in Nisan time. Where we get the first mitzvah, where we're taken out of Mitzrayim, and that's the first Rashi and Chumash. We could have started off with Achaydis as Elohim, and that's what you have in the Haggadah as well. Yachol Merish Chaydash. This is where it's coming. So over here, which is again giving the idea of conception and birth. Rav Elazar is talking about Tishrei, the conception of the world. Rav Yeshua is talking about Nisan, the birth of the world. Interesting to know. Here's Ari, let's go. Let's get an Ari Bergman principle for us here. Here is. If you I didn't hear him make this particular connection, but using the pencil that he said, he says, if you take a look what they say in Perkei Avos, you'll understand that sheet is over the whole of Shas. You've heard that from him before. I'm gonna plug in the principle. Let's see what comes out.
Okay.
So remember, according to this, Rav Elazar holds Tishrei. Rav Elazar holds Tishrei. Of course, that's the Gemara. Rav Elazar holds Tishrei. Rav Yeshua holds Nisan. The Ben Ishay and Arizal call Tishrei conception and call Nisan birth. So now that means Rav Elazar is talking about the conception of the world, Tishrei and the Rishon. Rav Yeshua is talking about Nisan when the Jews come out. Is the birth of the world. What does it say in Pirkei Avos about Rav Elazar? He's a bor sid she'eino mavatipa. He's a deep pit that doesn't lose a drop. What's conception? The tipa rishonam. He's going back to the first drop. What does it say about Rav Yeshua in Pirkei Avos? Ashrei Yoledeto, as happy as his birth. He's talking about the birth of the Eino. So we again will have this concept. And of course, that there's going to be a secondary concept that's going to be happening Pesach time as well, which is we're awaiting the final Guru, which was Mamish, a whole nother, you know, a second birth that will be going on, a rebirth of what's called of sorts. And this is what we had to, we have in the words, we have says, Yachatz Magid. Yachatz are letters of Yud Chetz, split the Yud, and what's called from the letters, Mem, from the letters Gimel Yud Dalet. If I split the Yud in half, I get two Hays. And what's called the hay before the Gimel Dal and the hay afterwards will be the Aces of Haggadah. And in the Haggadah, we're going to be trying to do this because the Yud is the picture with the 10, which we can't get onto. That's the only letter that's floating, doesn't touch the bottom of the line. There's ideas that are beyond us. And how do we how do we have a yearning for the final Gula? We have no idea even what the final Gula is. What? You're like, yes, yearn for this amazing thing. What is it? I don't know. You know, like, how can you do that?
So be careful what you pray for.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to start with the first hay was the Gula was represented by the what's called the hay, the revelation. Between chametz and matzah, the both have letters from tzaddik. Matzah has a hay, chametz has a ches. Hay, let's go, that's a shep all shining in. With what over here is. But hay was a revelation. But from the first hay, then we yearn for the second hay. from going through, like when we go through this night and say, oh, it's unbelievable, we were having this challenge and that just, Hashem took us out. From that, we're able to learn to the second. That's what said, Ho lach ma'anya, ha is hey aleph, the first hey. We're learning now by going this, by trying to relive the whole night. Lashana habo, habo is hey beis aleph hey. We'll have a yearning for the second hey from the first hey. Lashana habo b'nei karim. Then we'll finally be what's going to be free. And the final goal will happen. Karim divine, Rachel plus Leah. We're all going to Klai. So we'll come together. And different things are happening. So this is all part of our, what's called part of us. Okay, the same. So let's say, so these are the ones who are there. I don't know, 10 minutes maybe.
You don't
feel 12 or 5 lessons? Maybe they know about the lessons. I don't know. All right, that's commercial break. Will have to be deleted. Okay, so it's good. We're also going to have then there's a Rav Tarfon. Just we're not going to be married, but Rav Tarfon in the from the base area, what's called the Wild Haggadah, pointed out for us that Rav Tarfon was a Gilgal of Yirmiyah with the spark of Moshe, Tarfon's Gematria of Moshe. We also will have over there Yirmiyah, of course, seeing the worst of times. Moshe was the Gula. Actually, let's go is the and he's the girl Rishon of the Esa. So again, we'll have this opposite gamut from the negative, let's go in the positive. We'll have to see about that. Rabbi Akiva is the host of the story. Rabbi Akiva will always take you from the worst of times to the best of times. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is another, let's go is a little bit of another, let's go. Okay, so one, okay, we're giving one liners here because each one of these things is longer because in each one. For Rav Elazar ben Azariah, he's the one who opens the door for the what's called. He's the one, obviously we know the famous story in Brachas, where when they put Rav Elazar ben Azariah in, so the Beis HaMedrash had much more benches than they had before, because the previous Nasi had a hard at what's called Nose Rule. Taika Kabaro. You're right, we should be Taika Kabaro. It's the best way to do
it. Yes.
So over here is, so you should be Taika Kabaro. But what's cool, but not everybody's like that. We have issues, we have this. And he opens the doors and loads of more people are what's cool coming in here. And now the shaila is what, and then he had what's called Chalisha Sadas. He's like, but the shaila is what really did, did he not realize that obviously you could get more people than over there is? But what I'm trying to hear, it's done. You mentioned is what he didn't realize is you're right. Maybe they won't be Tocha Kabar before when they start, but you know maybe from the Kehas so the terror things will change. And maybe that would have been maybe that's what he started saying. Maybe these guys are really changing. Maybe I really shouldn't let them in. We can handle. But either way, he's the one who opens the door for everybody, no matter how low you are, no matter how down what go down you are. And therefore, because not all the Arba Banim are great. And my father used to say from what's going on, my Zaydi, he would go like, he said, making taste of the Chaga was even great. He said, first he's connected the Arab bottom against all four sons. You know, the Shaino doesn't know, the Tom doesn't know, the Russia doesn't, Russia, even the Chagam, he excludes himself like the Russia says, you know, commanded you, so we don't need you either. You know, not everyone learns like that, obviously. But over here is, so Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the doors are open to everybody. And it was such on the letters of Elazar ben Azariah, Isis of Arba, four. And that's put right next to the four sons. And four is always the letter Dal, which is low down. Even when we're in low places, the verse of the Haggadah is to go down even to the, what's called this night, even to the lowest of places. Even to the, over there, that's where it's supposed to go. And that's why Yitzhak wanted to give Esav a bracha on this night. Because this was a night even to be Makar of the Esav element of the person. Even to be Makar of the lowest of
the lowest. You know the Aruch Chaim, this is by Shishi in Parshas Toldos. So the Aruch Chaim says that Esav, that Yitzchak wanted Esav, he writes, you know, a Jewish father wants his son to go on the proper path. And of course, Yitzchak was the first Jewish father, and Esav is his kid. He wants him to go on he wanted to use the brachas to incentivize Esav to go on the straight and narrow. At the end of the at the end of this Aruch Chaim, he has a very obscure statement. He goes, as we see by Yaakov with Dina, that he prevented Dina from marrying Esav. The obvious question is v'chima inyan shmita etzorsin, right? It doesn't seem to connect at all. And then one Shabbos, it hit me. I was in Detroit, and it came to me, Parshas Toldos, and I was looking, I was looking at the this Or HaChaim, and it hit me. There's a famous question that is asked by the Gedolei Litta, and Yesh Omrim that it was the some say it was the Chatzko Levenstein, and some say it was the Alter from Slobodka. Take your pick. And the question is, why would Yaakov be punished for preventing his daughter from marrying what is the biggest scoundrel in the world? The FBI's the top 10 most wanted, you know, the rogues gallery, you know, of an evil person. You tell me a rabbi, a Rosh Yeshiva, or a rebbe that would allow their daughter to marry such a guy. They wouldn't. As a matter of fact, they would lock him up in a box. So what did he do wrong? So the Gedolei Litta answer that basically he hammered in the box. He hammered it in with such, you know, like he didn't have enough enough caring for his brother. I didn't like that answer, to be honest with you. And it bothered me for many decades until I read this Or HaChaim. And this Or HaChaim answer is really answering my question. He's saying basically that when Yaakov hid Dina, he really was taking away the bracha, and therefore the only tool that Yitzchak had in his box in order to incentivize Esav, he had removed that tool. So therefore, Yaakov now usurped the responsibility to bring Esav back, because he took away the tool, the bracha. What's the only tool that Yaakov had? His daughter Dina. And therefore now, he's punished. Not because he hammered it in, it's because now he had his one tool to be able to solve the problem. He would have been able to fix Esav. And of course, Esav figures into the Pesach Seder very prominently, because you have what? The stealing of the Afikoman, right? You have the bracha was stolen, Yaakov. Then that night, if you read the Parshas Toldos, it's very clear. It says Vayitzak Tzok of Gedol Amaro. It says Vayitzak of the Gedol B'Mitzroyim. Yeah, no, this is Makas Bechoros. That was the Bechor, that the primordial Bechor that got hit. So we see that there's a tremendous connection of the Yaakov and Esav to that whole thing plays out in history a number of times.
Yeah, 100. That night was Pesach night. That's what.
And the Korban and Korban Chagig, right? Korban Pesach, Korban exactly.
And that's what Yosef Chaim Zonneveld mentioned over the years. Yitzhak tells Esav, your brother took the brachas b'mirma. But Mirma's gematria Afikoman. The halach is, it's over. I already ate the Afikoman. You finished. And that's why we steal the Afikoman. Because Yaakov stole the brachas.
Because Yaakov stole the brachas. Right, that's the right.
Remez ledaber in the Makas. I saw brought then. The Makas, the tzach, ditzcha, you're happy. A dash for the adash and the lentils. Ba'ach, from your brother. Because of that, that's why he ended up stealing the, what's called, Okay, and no, and just to finish, what you mentioned, what was his punishment for this? His punishment for this was that Dina gets violated from Shem, which sounds like what Makeshe Bechlal, you know, like, for that to happen. But exactly as you said, Dina possibly could have turned Esav back over. It was a possibility. And the reason for that is because we know that Dina and Yosef switched embryos. We know that,
The label, the Dudoyim, right. The whole business, ruffle with Dudoyim.
So they would go right over there is that they switched, and then the Brachas, you know, let's go over there. So Dina took the Yosef power. Dina took the Yosef power. Yosef has the kayak to negate
Esav. To knock out.
So therefore, that would be a kayak then. So what ends up happening? So now Shem violates Dina, and out of that comes Osnas, who takes the Yosef power and links up with Yosef himself down in Mitzrayim. Because the Yosef power has to come to some tacos. You have a choice, Azer or Kenegdo. That's the way Rebel is explaining. But, you know, that just going off.
But it's off the derech, but this is all one big jigsaw puzzle.
For sure.
The entire existence The entire Bria is all one big jigsaw puzzle, and we have one little piece, and another person has another piece, and you put it all together, then you get the big picture.
100 and 100 And that's to do what's called that already. We know, you know, in the commercial terms, that what's called the Avram corresponds to Pesach, some, which is a lot of connections to Avram Pesach, Halachmanu, it's a hungry come and eat, Matkila, we go back to Avram Avinu, some understand the Chagadah, it's Avram Avinu's fight with Nimrod, it's a worship fire, but what it could put it out, you know, he's all over the place. Or Katsi, wash, let's go wash their feet. And some even go on to say that the four sons are Avram's family. The Chacham is Yitzhak.
Well, that's the Vilna Gaon Pshat. That's the Vilna Gaon Pshat. That Avram Avinu is the father sitting at the table. And Yitzhak is the Chacham.
Esav is the Rasha.
Yaakov Ish Tam. And the Sheni Lishol is who?
What's called the Chamo Amadam al Chamo Yishmal.
Oh, Yishmael. Why?
I'm a Daniel Lachamor. He said, you stay here with the...
I heard a better word. The word is that Yishmael is never quoted in the Torah. Not once. It says he cried, but it never quotes him. Why? Because everything Yishmael says is a lie. And the Torah is MS, and we won't, and the Torah will never quote something that's not MS. Therefore, Yishmael is... Therefore, Yishmael is Shani De Elishol, Tzatzaklo, that he's there, but he's an observer. if you get my vort over there,
it's interesting.
He's an observer.
The Lamaitza is, but clearly they're part of our history.
Yeah,
cool. Clearly they're part of our history. This is not, you know, like and the reason Hashem sent it. Avram sent the reason Avram sent those guys out of the, you know, like the B'nai Keturah away, is to keep them out of the fray.
Yeah, keep them.
To keep them out of the fray, as opposed to like what's called, as opposed to Yishmael and what's called Esav, who are very, very much part of our history, not such a great part of our history,
right?
You know, but clearly part of our history and part of the plan of keeping us on the up and up, like, you know, it's part of the system that we, that if it happens that we fall, because we can't fall, because we have to win in the end of the game. So just in case we have to fall. So therefore, is Hashem has his anti-Semites on hand in order to get us back, Yishmael, Yishmael, that we'll have to cry out to Hashem, or, you know, whatever it was. That, and these are not the parts that we like, but this is all part of the all part of the system. That's going over here. Okay, let's try to go another couple minutes. Let's go a little bit into Nadav and Avihu, so you get a little bit in the parasha. Over here is the Or Chaim at the beginning of Achrei Mos. It's a lot of heavy stuff. So basically, what comes out here is, why did Nadav and Avihu die? Nadav and Avihu died, really, it comes out as three reasons. There is because of Aaron's involvement in the ego. And which was the Pasha Pshat is making the ego. Strangely enough, the Medrash Rabbah actually has a different reason why Aaron was in big trouble for the ego. Was more problematic than making the ego is after he made the ego, he like smashed the ego a little bit to like, you know, to like knock off a piece of it or to do something over there. And the reason why he did it was to try to show people, look, he's not a god, he can't even do anything. If he's a god, he would fight back. So it sounds like that would be a good thing. But then the problem was, but now that they still were serving it, now they were much more culpable for serving it. Because now you saw the guy, he can't do anything. So now he held a responsibility, which is just wild to like how much of a cheshbon and a nefesh you have to make before doing anything. You know, what ramifications can have in either way.
Well, maybe it would be a taina that he didn't completely destroy. He should have smashed it there and taken whatever punishment, like Kor should have.
Yeah, it could have. Yeah,
but that's the Kalkana part of the equation.
In the Medrash itself, it seems to be like once he did that, that was a problem. It didn't.
Right. Degrees. It's very hard to judge degrees. And us to sit in judgment of Aaron HaKohen is like, you know, ridiculous.
Now what also gets wild. Is so what's called is we know that Avram was Moshe Nefesh, what's called for Hashem. Haran was like the man in the, what's called the man in the middle. You know, he's able to go in either direction over here. Pasha Pshat, the Haran's the man in the middle. You know, like, if I run wins, I'm with him.
Right, right. He ultimately dies, but he jumps in and it's too late already.
Exactly.
Because he waited. He waited. Similar vein.
The way that we will say it's one way, and then we'll say it a different way. So, Zay is like, if you were to call the middle numbers, the regular Gematria system finishes at 400.
By the way,
yeah.
Harun, without the Aleph, or with the Aleph, is Arun.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Gilgal.
I'm saying that there has to be.
Yeah, we got.
There has to be the Cheshbon. I just
Where are we going? We're exactly going.
You hear that, Rabbi Zimmer?
No, I didn't.
Harun, the brother of Avram, is gematria, the same gematria of Aharon. It's one off. Is okay in the gematria. So he's a Gilgal of Harun. Aaron Cohen is a Gilgal from Harun.
Right, so now we're going to be mad for that. But that's why we're talking about this now.
Yeah.
So we're going to give it to you one way, and then we're going to give it to you a second. One way is like this. In regular Gematria numbers, the top is the last number, 400.
Right.
So the middle number of the system is 200. From 0 to 400 is 200.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay,
the middle number
in the numerology.
The middle number is 200. Of the double digits, which is 10 to 90,
okay,
the middle number is 50.
Okay.
Of the single digits, 1 to 9, the middle number is 5. Okay. 2, what's called 5 is hey, 200 is reish, 50 is nun. He's the man in the middle.
Got it.
So
wow.
Aram.
Nice.
Now, Lamai says every kayak, has a positive, what's called, like he's in the middle of these two staples. Right? What's the positive usage of being the man in the middle? I should be the man in the middle of two sides and be able to reconcile them.
Right.
And that's
right.
What Harun comes back as Aaron. He's always the man. He's always the man in the middle.
Right.
Sure is Shalom Bayez. Ad Kedekav, the Avizdor of Nassan said, after Aaron died, 80,000 kids with the name Aaron went after the Aaron. They're all named after him. Imagine 80,000 kids because of what
he was able to solve by.
80,000 kids. Which is Pat. How you doing? Okay. Either way, this is one way. Now we're gonna say things. That's one kind of heart. We're gonna say things in a different way for now. One of my friends, he told me from the Arizal, and this is what it seems like his understanding of that Aaron was a Gilgal of Haran. I got your mind, but the way it sounded, I think he was going from that result that since Harun didn't really give his life properly, you know, like because he was like, you know, let's see what happens, let's go over there. Therefore, he had to come back and get a ticket. But Aaron had that chance to do it with the ego, but he didn't do it.
You are listening to Ben's Torah.
So that seems like he did get his ticket, but the Chassam Sefer said no, it was even greater what he did. Because Aaron was Aaron was Moshe Nefes' neshama in order to save Klai Yisrael. Instead of being Moshe Nefes' body, said if I'm gonna do this, they're gonna be finished. I'll take it on myself, which ultimately he paid the price with Nadav and Aviv, you know, for that. He take it on himself to save Klai Yisrael. Which tangentially, if by chayte ego, you took the bullet on yourself to save the klal, that's why paraduma is the ones who work with it, which is the ticket for the ego. Those who work with it become tame in order to be matar. The other ones in the same system.
There has to be a certain amount of...
Just like Moshe and Aaron both did. Right. In the Masibra, Moshe and Aaron both by chayte ego. I'll take the bullet myself.
There's a certain amount of terminal altruism.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could put it a different way, but that's it.
In the depth, that was even Hashem creating the universe. That was when Hashem created the world. That's really right. the depth of the creation of the universe goes back to that, which is Hashem himself was Metzamsem himself to put himself in his garbage dump for us to take him out of there with a greater plan that in the end of the day, will come out, because that would be the greatest way to be made to us, to be like totally mess himself up to do this, which is so beyond the scope of anything anyone could imagine. But this is what has happened here. So, like, this is mamash a blend of a chacham asheni yodei lashal things. We're giving an answer, but the injury is so out of our framework that both of those things could be there together.
Right, and the whole issue of paraduma is Azov is the top, the best, right, the highest, the tallest. I'm sorry, the eight eras, And the Azov is the lowest, the most shuffle is the Zaatar. It's a little flower that pokes through the what's the pokes through the and that's where and where do you find yourself in the middle? So,
as that balance, you know, I don't feel very really in the front. Okay, let's go either way. Whatever's going on over there. So let's come back. So let's go. One of the reasons that Nadav and Avihu dies is because of Aaron. This was the punishment of, what's called Aaron's punishment. Nadav and Avihu and themselves had their, what's called this, one day of all different interesting things, because really their midrashim that said that this was their only chet. So their only chet, but it's kabbalah chet of like a whole bunch of different things, you know, right. Which is they didn't get married, and they came in drunk, and they brought an unauthorized fire, you know, all we hear is, and they didn't wait for Moshe, and then we have the statement where Moshe is telling Aaron, and let's go, you should know, they're greater than us. I knew someone was going to die. Hashem wanted to show here in the first day the kedusha of the base of the Mishkan that someone was going to die that way. And then Amamish bring a kiddush Hashem through his holy ones. I thought it was going to be me or you, and now I see that Nadav and Avihu are greater than us. So we've got Moshe Rabbeinu saying that he's greater than us. The pasuk calls them the Atzilim. You know, the mighty ones.
Atzilim and Yisrael.
So what's going now? We'll talk about. So the Shabbos, let's understand Nadav and Avihu, as we're going to see over here. So we had we'll go back. Let's understand them, and then let's get to the Or Chaim. There's a lot going on here. Let's start the Or Chaim. The Or Chaim said because of this chait. So then you know, he said this is the Or Chaim's wild steps. Really, Nadav and Avihu were so great, they should not have come to this momentary lapse or whatever. None of this should have happened. So how come they weren't protected from this happening? The reason is because Aaron said, it's allowed for them that they shouldn't have the shmir for this, to happen. And then, you know, then that happened. You know, it's like, whoa, did they get punished like that, you know, for like one, you know, one thing over there? And then the Medrash brings down, then the Orchai, this is the Orchai says over there, and he talks about Rabbi Akiva. Right after this is a segue to Rabbi Akiva, you know, dying in the horrible death that Rabbi Akiva died.
Right.
And it said over there is, now the Ebrings, I don't know where this actually happened, but the Orchai says that Rabbi Akiva was darshening to 600,000 people. Now, we know about Rabbi Akiva having 24,000 students.
Right.
This would be 25 times and about.
Right.
It should be there. And the only thing I can think of, but I don't, you know, if we'll see that he actually had 600,000 people, is we have the Gemara Menaches that says over there that Hashem showed Moshe all the generations, and Moshe sat in the shear of Rabbi Akiva. And the Medrash says about Yocheved giving birth to the 600,000, it's all about Moshe Rabbeinu. But I also have no idea. I'm not necessarily giving a shot. I don't know. But this is the Orach. I said he was dashing the sister tent. And he said he felt like a tinge of Gaia. He felt like, giving over, you know, and because it is, that's why he died that terrible death. The Orach, I was like, and which will probably be almost the emotion of anybody listening to this. If this is the punishment
for teaching Torah,
for like getting a geschmack, you know, in like in, you're giving over, like where everybody's finished. It's like you know what I mean. Man, the karsha made the bali of everyone's done. We're like, you know, it's over.
Right.
So you said no. And then we explain, let's even go 10, I know we're like flying off in 50 different references, but it's really one big piece, is what's called something else. Something you heard, what's called Grumblat, you know, the, what's called Rashina Tavaskayan, is like, is Muslim Naveem Shirin. So like, he was talking about something else. He said like, he says, you know, when we hear Mishaberach, have you ever heard of Mishaberach like this? Mishaberach Hosaino, Amram Yishai Kilov Binyamin. You ever heard of what's going on?
But the four people have never sinned.
So they didn't make it to the Mishaberach. They didn't, over there. So Lamaisa is, and what's going on, they don't make it to the category, there are four people never sinned, but we don't. When we're talking about, when we relate to the greats of history, it's Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and Akiva.
Right.
You know, people who sinned. People that did sin, and he was bringing the book on the Bible. Just because you didn't sin doesn't mean you're greater. then, you know, people get involved with, you know, either like talking about many times, you could be involved very like, I'm involved with the Tzibur, I'm involved with the situation, I'm involved with very complicated, well, maybe I shouldn't ever become a Pesach, you know, the Achrayas are coming, you can't do that, you're right, maybe you could avoid all those situations, but it's very shaya that the person who goes and gets involved over there right. will be greater even with the mistakes. The mistakes are not, you know, the mistakes don't mean, that's an amazing thing for us to even connect with, is making mistakes may be part of the system. That's something I think we spoke about way back when in our creation. But it's part of the what's called, part of the system. And it's here. That's part of the system, and it's there. It's there. You know, it's life. We're human beings. Sheva Yipot Tzadik to come. Like, you know, if you would say a person had, let's be also disabled again. A person had 8 nisyanis. He messed up 7 times and he passed once. Say 1 out of 8, pretty bad. You know, there's the pasuk called. It's called the Tzadik. Sheva Yipot Tzadik to come. You know? No, that's life. This is life. That means we don't get thrown off by that. There could be the matzah of Rosh times. There could be all this. Said no. The meat is now back to our Orchaim. Our Orchaim is the midas hadin can only be shalit when there's some element of a miscue or what's called an aver or something that's there. It can't be shalit otherwise. So the midas hadin needed an opening. So Rabbi Kiva, on this level, he had some element of Gishmak, whatever was there, that was the opening to allow the Midas Hadin to get in. But he's really not liable for punishment for that, either despite the Shlo, it says the Machshava, the Yelam, Rabbi Kiva, the Midas Hadin.
Right.
You know, over here, what's over here is, the what's go or what may connect into in depth, but whatever is over here, he's not punished, that's not really the Midas Hadin for that. Really, the Sarugi Makas have to die, and dead death will be Machaber for. He doesn't even say either, which is must in other places. It's machaber for what's called the Ten Shvatim. But he's saying this was something that the universe needed for whatever was going on over there. Is, you know, that would be a schuss for us and that a megan for us and everything else. We needed that. We needed those that to die in order for that. And I'm studying very, very. This is, you know, like whatever, getting dangerously close to some other, you know, religions, you know, over there is. But you know that you're gonna die for the initial sin, and you know different.
Right.
And but this is the source, because really to know anything that's taken over there is has some element of truth, and this is really Sefer Vayikra is really their source, even though it's, you know. But whatever, that's not our discussion. But whatever is going on over here, that's really key. So what therefore is the same idea. The idea is, but Dafka, that little bit of chait allows for the Midas Adin to come. But the Midas Adin is only here to accomplish a much greater, this terrible Midas Adin that was here, was accomplishing something much, much greater over there. Nadav and Avihu are going to accomplish something far greater, you know, over there. They're going to be the Kreva Yachadesh that Hashem was talking about. But that could have only happened because they had some element of, what's called, some element of sin. And that sin only happened because Aaron's involvement in the chet ego. I mean, you also have two contradictory, or what appears to be contradictory statements. We have a Medrash Rabbah in Akhir Mos, that where the Medrash Rabbah says that it was a double pain for Hashem that Nadav and Avihu died. Side that Tzaddikim died, and the pain that Aaron HaKohen had, it was a double pain that he had. We have Yerushalmi in Yuma. It says, why are Mises, Nadav, and Avihu put next to the whole Yom Kippur Avodah? Just like Yom Kippur is Mechaber, so too Mises Tzaddikim is Mechaber. And the Meshach Chachma is going to go one step forward to explain, just like Yom Kippur is a time of goodwill that we've got a kapara, perfect ego, and you see, oh, that is connected over there, which goes back down and everything else, but he doesn't connect over that to there. And what goes, so too Mises Tzaddikim is a time of goodwill. Mises Tzaddikim is a time of goodwill. Why? There's a Simchon Shemayim that Hashem's holy souls return. So we even have this wild paradox by Hashem. We have the Medrash Rabbah saying it's a double pain by Hashem. Sigh that the Tzaddikim had to die. Sigh what's called that Aaron had to suffer. And simultaneously we have this Meshach Chachma of the Yerushalmi that it was a Simchon Shemayim. Yeah.
So total contrast.
So here's the verb, or how I want to read these. Here's the verb we ask. Let's understand what Nadavim and Avir are going to be amazing. So on one hand, these are what's called, on one hand is true. Hashem shtelling tzu with our tzad, just like Yitzhak. Yitzhak, when Yaakov was just there for the 22 years in pain, Yitzhak knew that Yaakov was alive, but he knew he wasn't allowed to tell him. So when he was with Yaakov, he sat there in pain with him. It's not a stira to know, I know the other things are happening over here, and I can't tell you, but I have a pain for you. That's there. There is Hashem being with us in the tzara. There is a sadness. I had to take these tzaddikim. They're not in the world anymore. Aaron is suffering. You know, they have to go through their process. I could shtel tzikilu. You know, the shechina being with us in the tzara. On another hand, Nadav and Avihu, and this I think Ari Berman and Fishel Shef, they both went in similar cabin. Nadav and Avihu, what they are, were such unbelievable neshamas. Is he over here? Is now on a certain level. This is not our hanhaga in the island to live like this. There's a mila and a chesaron that we put in here. The chesaron is going to be, we see the story of Nadav and Avihu in Vayikra is both in Shmini and in Acharon Mos. Shmini is talking about the kosher animals right next to it because you have to live in the physical world, and Nadav and Avihu didn't do that. You're supposed to get married. They didn't do that. All the women who wanted to marry Nadav and Avihu, the Medrash like all the women were all upset. Come on, we all want to marry you. You got to marry us, okay? You know, over here, you're supposed to do that. And they're not living in the physical world. They're not following that protocol, and that's their. But what is their vert? Nadav and Avihu's vert is we just want to be connected to Hashem, and we don't want anything holding us back. We're not talking about, we're not waiting for Moshe Aaron to make any psak. We are going right in there. We're not waiting for anything. We're over here, that's a pshat of coming in drunk. Well, after they were really drunk, but the idea of being drunk is the idea of breaking borders. There are no boundaries. We want to just be dovish to Hashem. It's a connection to Hashem, but it was unauthorized. We just want to be connected to Hashem. That's all we want. Of course, you can't get married and kids. They're going to have me work here on Pesach. I need to be in the base of Medrash all day. I can't be over here cleaning these things. Get out of here. Not do that. I need to be just dovish. What's called dovish to Hashem. What's called the entire time. This is the nadav. What's called? This is the nadav and aviyu hanhaga. That's all the others. They're over. They're all the same in the same camp. They don't want anything holding them back. Now it comes as the wild thing. The wild thing is, let's go back to this. So remember we said, what was the, let's go Avram, the Tainan Haran. The Tainan Haran, what was the Tainan Haran? He should have, he was a little bit, in the middle, he did it, he wasn't over there. It's interesting, just tangentially, again, I know we're on 50 tangents, but it's all interesting, is Rafelin mentioned, that over here is Haran represents the job of the Emes in Klal Yisrael to go along with their husbands, you know, and that
support.
Was yeah, and like Haran himself really wanted to be with Aram, but he couldn't do it alone. He said, if Aram dies, I can't fight him to myself. Right. If he was, I want to be with him, but I can't fight him myself. He says that's when if you look from Haran's family comes that Haran has a daughter named Sarah, who marries Avram. Haran's other daughter marries Nachar, and out of that comes Rivka, Rachel, Leah, all the, what's called, like, all the Emites, and Mavish should be here. And that's the Roshim Yashter Poli, it says in the word Te'ena, which is the, what's called, fake, they're from the Eitz Hadas, that the family of the Te'ena will be Masaken. Te'ena's Rosh Hashanah, Terach, Avram, Nachar, Haran. It's all the in this family, so he is there. But what's cool, but now let's come back to this. So now, so whatever it was, it needed to be. Now, actually, Chava's Nesham was connected with Sarah and Yitzhak and the Kedav. Let's not fly off and all that. That's all going back to the Yitzhak. That's what's going as well. But let's go get this. And hopefully, another 5 minutes when we'll be, finished. Okay, so let's get back on this. So now, Haran. Okay, Haran comes back with Aaron. Oh, that we discussed that chelik of the what's called of that part. Now. Again, the ultimate of Avram's Mesiris Nefesh comes where by the Akedah. And I think there's Rabbeinu Bachai that says Avram would have died 100 times first jumping into the fire than having to kill Yitzhak. Like that's Avram. Remember, this is Avram Avinu. Remember, Avram Avinu before, like, Avram Avinu's like a baby step was jumping into the fire. That was like his, that was his pre-1A, the highlight, was the Akedah. So over the years, he's jumping into the fire over there. But he's bringing Yitzhak up to the cage. That's the ultimate over here. But now, in the end of the day, Yitzhak is still alive. In the end of the day, Yitzhak is still alive. However you learn. Whether he didn't check them, whether with his or he did check them, and then there was Tzias HaMeisim, and Yitzhak is his cage. However you learn, in the end of the day, Yitzhak is still alive. Which means, that although Avram did it, he did. It says kach nois, what's called kach nois yechidcha. You know, take your son, and the Medrash Rabbah is like is yechida. Just I wanted your heart, but in the end of the day, he didn't.
Agav, did you ever have the shaila why the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself gives the order, but then you see Malachim are like Avram should have said, hey, wait a minute. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave the order. Who are you? Did that ever bother you?
I'll tell you from another story. We have the question. Bilam actually had that question as well. But what's cool? We had the question. First of all, what is this Malach saying? This Malach is saying, what's cool? You've not withheld anything from me. What do you mean from me?
Who are you?
who are you?
Right. So, yeah, but that could be like a, you know, like a conduit, you know.
Yeah, so that's a
the micro, right. the speaker. The Novi. The speaker.
So the gain here, maybe that's what you what's good? You wanted an answer? Do you wanted a?
No. Go ahead. I'm just bouncing.
So yeah, the gain here. So let's go. The gain here says that who was talking to him? The mouth. In the way when you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. Every time you do a mitzvah, you create a malach. But the level of the malach is only as good as what's called as the mitzvah. Meaning, if I'm going to give a dollar to Daka, but I want them to put a big bike, Effie Goldman saved the yeshiva with his $1.
The malach now is like, you know, it's on the wall, but all the way down there.
So hey, over here, as opposed to like, it's not easy, and I'm missing never, I'm doing this, I want to, you know, over here, there are different levels that to every what's called every mitzvah. The malach he created is telling him, you've not withheld anything from me. I'm as strong as I possibly could be. You are finished. It, you know, like that was the gift, and it's true. And that is true. From that Nakuda, he is done, and he did everything he could do. But still, one thing is not here. When a person would do this, and I'll say this with a story from the Holocaust, that someone. This is the way I heard the story. I hope I'm saying this over correctly. You know, I think official chef to mention this is that they were having one of the roundups, you know, whatever, that they were going to take people and have them killed and whatever what it's going to be over there. And over here is, and someone had money and he could have, he had the ability to, you know, bribe the guard to let his kid out. You know, like not in that, I think it was like that. So, but what's the problem? The problem is they have to have a certain quota of people. So if he gets his kid out,
someone else
will have to be taken in his place. And the shadows, can you do that? And this is the way I heard the story. I'm not passing a lot of
love. Right. It's a grum. A lahur, it's a grum.
This is the way I was heard the story. It's citing the Holocaust, well, one of these terrible times, whatever it was. And I think he went to the Rav, and the Rav didn't want to pass it.
Rabbi Rakefen has a whole semester on this shaila of, let's say, of a people in a masa, and there's a baby crying. What do you do with, you know, in order to save, you have 20, 30 people more, let's say, and this one baby is threatening. What do you do with that? I mean, these questions, unfortunately, they are dealt with in there's the Shas on these horrible, horrific situations.
So obviously we shouldn't know that.
Never know from it.
100%, it's not easy to. So the Rav didn't want to paskin. And the person felt that the Rav was really telling him, you know, like the
maybe reason, it's not a good idea.
Right? You're not. It's not so pusha to do it. Like, but he didn't want to tell him that. He didn't want to actually tell him he can't do it. But he felt by the Rav saying he didn't want to pass him, that the message was that the Rav is saying, I don't want to tell you, but it's not so pasha. So he felt that the right thing to do was not to get him out. And he said to Hashem, Hashem, this to me is mamish like the Akedah. Except for by the Akedah, it was only in a saying for Adam. By me, it's real. Meaning, at the end of the day, even according to the Zohar, that he did die and come back to life, but he's still going to live with Yitzhak the rest of his life, let's call it afterwards. This person would not live with his child. So there was something that wasn't there. So the actual Ratzon, that Hashem, I'm giving you my son, period, in the end of the day, That didn't happen in the physical world, even according to the Zohar, where we didn't live this. So where's the Kibbutz? There's a sefer I saw called Nadav and Avihu.
Keep going.
And let's go. And in there, let's go. And let's go. In this, let's go. In this sefer. It says this. So really, Adam wouldn't have to bring a carbon nedava, whatever it was. He says is the hemshach of Avram's ratzon to bring that. What's called to bring that? You know that carbon. The hemshach of that is with Nadav and Avihu. Nadav lashon carbon nedava. Avihu, he is the father. And what's called as kachno as bincha, take your son. The only son. No, Rashi David's Nadav and Avihu. The hemshach of Avram's ratzon comes out. What's called comes out over there with Nadav and Avihu. These become the rebbes for us in yearning. So even in the halacha, even if you're right, we have to get married, we have to do things, we have to do every living in the physical world. But the yearning, we say achash aldi, one thing I rest. Oh, see a vakish that I want to be in the house also. Like this is the Nadav and Avihu. What's called Avihu. That I'm constantly what's called the constant yearning to what's called to be over there. The Makobel Shimshin Miastropolia goes on to ask a question. If not none of you are that great, then maybe what's called why wasn't he like Pinchas, who became like a Malach Elio? Why wasn't he like Kanai, who turned into the Malach Makat? So he says, no, they're far greater than those guys. Those guys only got up to the level of Malachim. They went up to the Elam of, remember what they were called before in the Pasuk? They were called Atzilim. Their neshamas are rooted to the Eilam Atzilis. The Eilam Atzilis is far greater than that. You can't exist there at all. That's what the Pasuk says. They died in their closeness to Hashem. So it goes out over here is that this Kutko, which is Aramidu, the Spitz yearning, the Spitz connection to Hashem, which goes back to Haran as well, which goes back to what's called to Rabbi Kiva. So there's so much what's called over here. At the end of the day, it comes out that really because of the what's called the din, because of some din that was here, because of something was over here, that din allowed, because of that avera that happened, a din that happened, something that allowed them to get to the highest madreyas that were over there, which means at the end of the day, which is so hard to hear in the end, but it's like so much of our life, there's so many challenges and so many things that are there, and the real word is that is a tachlis for us. It's not stam. When we go back to our original question, Hashem Shkoyach, you took us out of Mitzrayim. Who put us in there to Mitzrayim? You're right, I put you in there and you needed to be there. That was right also. You have to go through all these challenges and all these difficult things. This is all what's going on.
But this is all life. This is all part of the plan. Like at the end of the, let's go to Seder, we have the Chagadah. Rav Yaakov Emden has the Chagadah that's memish. Like, you'd be like, are you trying to give a Seder nightmares? What are you trying to say with all this? Listen to this Chagadah. You haven't heard this from Rav Yaakov Emden. Says, let's go to Gedi is the Neshama. And the one devouring the other one is the idea that the situation is like even getting more intense. So
what do you mean?
You
know, in the Chagadah, one is always killing the other one. You know?
Right.
One is smashing the
other. Right, it's a hierarchy. Survival of the fittest.
This is
Darwin. Right. Chagadah is spiritual Darwin.
Which was when we said also we had one pshat, it was Avram Avinu's fight with Nimrod, you know, which is exactly that idea. The Gain has this pshat as well, you know, which is talking about the history of the world. You know, the Gain has his shot. What's it? You know, is the history of the world. The Chagadah were the two goats, and the brothers were the jealous animal. That's the cat. The dog was Paro. Along came Moshe with a stick, and he hit him. Right. The fire was
the
Yetzer Hara. What's called burnt the Beis Hamikdash. Along came the Anshik and Nesa Sagadela. The water comes. The water puts out them. Along came the what's called the axe. The axe is Rome. Rome, and the other one comes the Shechet, Mashiach, and Yosef. But in the end, finally, Hashem comes.
You're
in.
Some knocks,
yeah,
knocks,
that's you know, he'll win. That's the Gain, and that's true. Now listen to the Shafir and what's going on, which is also, and why, and each one goes back to the end, because all this is part of Hashem's plan. We don't just say, you know, like, and Hashem killed the Malachim Amos. No, Hashem killed the Malachim Amos. Who killed it? Because even all that was all part of the, what's called, all part of the plan. And then go to listen to Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden says the Chagadah to Gedi is a lamentation. Lamentation is all the trouble that the Gedi, the Neshama, runs into on planet Earth. Problem number one is when the cat bites the goat. First you get what's called as you know, the cat is a gelatin, what's going is you're like a baby scrounging around on the floor in the garbage, you know, and what's going and everything. That's the what's going, that's the cat. And you think you get out of the stage, it only gets worse. Along comes a dog, the akshamis, the brazenness, no one's gonna tell me what to do. You think you get out of this, along comes a stick, there's a remnant of the muck of Hamila, all the trouble in that area, along comes a fire, kinna, taiva, gaya coming. And then you think you get out of this, along comes the water, go with the flow, we do the same stupid things at 70 as we do at 20 because we simply can't change. Then comes the gates of Harat trying to gore us like an axe, bring all our avarice up to Hashem. And then is the Shekhet, then we're dead. Then we run into the Malach HaMavis in Gehenna. And you think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and you come back to Hashem and you realize, hey, you completely imploded on planet Earth, and you totally messed up on your Mutko mission of planet Earth. Ay, Chagadja Chahed, Zabanaba, Vetrezoz, Chagadja, Chagadja. Or, alternative, we'll die and go to hell. That's how you end the night, dude. What's going on? But the real, it's like a really funny thing. But the real word is, on Pesach, the different what's called our hero food of Pesach is matzah. Our villain food is what's called our villain food is chametz. Matzah and chametz are not two completely different foods.
It's just a matter of seconds.
Exactly. Every piece of chametz is on its way to becoming. Every piece of matzah is on its way to becoming chametz. And why doesn't it?
Because you protected by protected.
I didn't allow that to happen. The metzias is of life. If you just allow life
on
to
guard,
take us
in, on guard.
I just go with the flow. I feel punches on the face. I punch in the face. I feel you just allow. You know, the metzias, like gravity, the metzias of life, things rust. The metzias, this is, if you just allow all these things to happen, you will be finished. You will, this is where you're going to end up. But this is the night the way Judaism begins. The Hiskachas, Parag Gematria Shana. I'm not trapped down by what's going on where I am. I can prevent those things from happening. You're right, it's true. Is it an insane? Yes, it has. I was in this environment. Is that an insane thing? But it doesn't mean I need to. That I can prevent those things from happening, and that's where it begins. That's the Hiskachas. That's where all be, what's called, all begins for us, and and all this is part of Hashem's plan for us. He wants us to be going through all these challenges, from the Ganai to the Milas, all part of the great master plan of the birth. And in the birth, there's going to be Tumah, there's going to be everything. We're going to have all these things. We're going to bring a carbon into it. Hashem wants it all. He wants it all with all the craziness. You understand? That's how the situation is. That's fine. And that's what's cool. That's what he wants. Cool. That's what he wants it all. And that's what's cool. And that's it. What's cool. That's at the end. At the end, we what go with the end of the night. We have the story with Rabbi Akiva. We have Rabbi what go Rabbi, and then this is all. This sort of hopefully will what go addresses almost all four of the what go all four of the sons for all of us. On one hand, we're touching elements of Chachma. We're seeing the wisdom of the world. On another hand, we're dealing with our own Russian inside, which is that like we're having a hard time dealing with that. I'm having a hard time now. And what's the problem? And the verdict is hakeshino. Sometimes we really need to get a smash. Sometimes we really do. You know, and that's part of the ticket. Half the time the problem is the shina. We know in the remez, shina is always represented with the erlim ataiva. Many times what's the problem? The problem is if we're not feeling connected, probably one of the main reasons, like someone would come to America and you say, oh, you're in America, let me give you some very good schmack, Tropicana orange juice. Said, okay, tomorrow I'm going to wake up, I'm going to have your Tropicana orange juice. Then he brushes his teeth and they give him the Tropicana. Then this
it
is a guy.
So good.
So that's it. He says, what's the problem? You have a different taste in your mouth. Haki Ashinov. You have certain things that are holding you back from really connecting. And that's
right.
But where is that? Hashem didn't. This tire that you have, which is a tire, that's a payoff. Oh, Hashem, here's your tefillin, here's your today. Hey, that's not what I took out of Mitzrayim for. I didn't take out of Mitzrayim. That everything is supposed to be like a horrible existence. It's supposed to be what's called connection. But that's a part of us. It's a part of us, and part of these things, we can't even begin to understand. You know, like someone comes into a factory, and the factory has like a billion buttons in it. And someone's like, hey, what's this green button?
Right.
What's this green button?
Right.
You don't even know what this factory is. You know, the ksil lo yoven ezayis, the fool doesn't know this. Mazayis, you know, you begin to know. Like, we can't even begin. On one hand is mazayis pashit. What does Hashem want from us? There's another part of us. We can't like, what is the depth of that? That's a shame. You're there. Listen, we bechal don't know. But all parts of these are sort of all working together. And the vert over here is not to bring us chacham rasha v'sheinu tam rasha tevis cheres. He's supposed to free all different parts of our soul till the students come in and the students say to Rabbi Akiva, Yevotko Rabbi, you brought us up to the point we're ready to say Shema of Chakras. Rabbi Akiva is always that one that could take you from the night to the light. He's that one. This is the whole story of creation. He was, you know, remember Akiva's death. Rabbi Akiva's death. What did
they say? The Medrash says that's Adam Rishon Kardam Achet. That's Rabbi Kahn brings it down so in his said, book.
What, yeah. Okay, what were the statements? I think we'll see more. What were the statements of it? If you want, I'll bring the world back to Toh, what's called Tohu Vavohu. Which is Mavish the world, that's the world. And what else did he say? This is the Mashava, this is my Mashava. Mashava of the world was me that said this. So you got Rabbi Akiva Mamish in the implants of the world. Rabbi Akiva roots back in the craziest places. Rabbi Akiva Mamish, Rabbi Akiva goes back to Shem Ben Chamor of all places. Rabbi Akiva's like, I'm a Aratza, Bade Tamachakam, Kechamor. He goes back, and that's what's called Beshem Lo, is Rashi, there's Bar Shem Kavod Machsoli Olam Ben. He goes into the craziest places. That Mamish, all the, like, what's called, all the bad and the good is all part of a grand master plan. Right. And that's what Avraham Avinu was here to teach us. Avraham Avinu was here to teach us the same thing. The good and the bad is all from one God, that all this comes from, he's the Father of the Seder. The Father of the Seder, that all this is all one, what's called, all one plan, you know, over here is. And that whole war, the four kings and the five kings, which happened on Pesach as well, was led by some
and
of
we've, And we've only scratched the surface.
Exactly.
We've
exactly.
only
that's,
scratched
That's why we're still the Shady of the Daily Show.
It's
still,
a master plan that we, like I said, the jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly.
We have one piece. Maybe another piece,
exactly.
And we don't see really the big picture.
We're still the Shani or the Elishal. We still have no idea. We're still yearning for the Atzachlo, for the Olive, to have the whole picture to be over. We still don't know. But at least on that, what's called that first level, on one part of it, and Rabbi Akiva goes back, Rabbi Akiva, of course, goes back to Nachum Ish Gamsu with the arrows, which goes back to, also goes back to Avraham Avinu. What's called over here is, the students come in, and the students say, you brought us up, we're ready to say Shema Shachos. He took us from the night to the light. Shema backwards is all Malchus Shemayim. You brought us to that whole revelation. You brought us to that point. And why Bedavka, what's called Shachar? Shachar is Avraham Avinu. You brought us up to the Dargis of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, who led that, what's called Avraham Avinu, who led that war in the four kings and the five kings, was the man named Kedar La'omer. Kedar La'omer is Rosh Tavis, called Man David Rachmanu, Latav David Rachmanu. He brought us up to that point. You brought us up to that point. You affected all parts of our soul. As the Belzerov says, what's called Shachar, which are in letters, is Shin Yud Ches Reish Tav, She'en Yodea Chacham Rashan Tam. Let's go, you brought us up to the point where all these have got some element of fulfillment.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.